Well, good gracious, good evening and good day to each and every one of you. This is the Brothers Podcast, and I am your brother. This is your boy Dre from the First State, the Diamond State, the Joe Biden State, the state where things just happen because we control your money. We are excited to have you with us at another podcast. Of the brothers, and we are so excited that you are here one more again, joining me all the way from the Charm City, where you have to be more careful, because if not, you'll think that those things walking on the streets are cats. It's the brother,
okay,
the professor, the educator, and the philosopher, none other than Maurice. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? How y'all doing today?
How y'all doing?
Get on so beat. What's up, people? How y'all doing? And joining us later will be our brother from another mother, from the city of brotherly love, where everybody ducks and dodges. That's the city of Philadelphia. Brother Javon will be on in just a bit. However, we are excited to have you guys here for another show. A lot of stuff going on in the news, a lot of stuff going on these TVs, a lot of stuff going on in these streets. One of the things that is jumping all is the termination of Don Lemon from CNN after 20 years or nearly 20 years of service. This cat has been let go. I have a number of different ideas or takes about this situation, but nonetheless, everyone knows Don Lemon was a huge part of the show, and his CNN family has really begun to speak about the situation. But I just, the last thing he did was big, was spoke about, was put off air for speaking about a Republican candidate, Nikki Haley, saying that she was not in her prime, and remarks that were widely panned as sexist and landed him in sensitivity training. And now he has been released. And I really don't understand how they're saying that he's, now all of a sudden he's abusive and he's sexist and he's a number of things. But one thing he's never been is a fool. And so I just find it to be hilarious. But what's your take on this, Maurice?
Well, any person who kind of is a trendsetter and then start fires Don Lemon. He didn't see this coming. He says, I pulled up his Twitter from yesterday. Mm-hmm. He says, I was informed this morning by my agent that I've been terminated by CNN. I am stunned after 17 years that CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I given any indication that I would not be able to continue to do the work I have loved at the network. It is clear there are some larger issues at play. And with that said, I want to thank my colleagues and the and many teams I have worked with for an incredible run. They are the most talented journalists in the business, and I wish them all the best. Again, he was, to add to it, all these years of doing what he's done, and now he's seen as all these things, which is odd. But I think there was already some animosity. There were always some things kind of brewing with him and CNN. And I think that at this point, from his point of view, he didn't see this coming. He didn't know that this was happening. And I feel like, again, it's that quick thing of, let somebody else do your dirty work. We don't want to no more. And now, you're not good for the company. And I feel like that's what CNN is saying to him. He was good for 17 years, good for 16 years, but now all of a sudden, now he's not good. He's sexist and he's all those things. When you start speaking out and start saying things that are not popular, again, you get in trouble. If he felt Nikki Haley wasn't in her prime, that's his opinion. We are entitled to have our opinion. We are entitled to those things. And I think that's where America kind of, this whole First Amendment right, free speech, but we get it twisted when we start speaking truth or start speaking our truth or start saying things that we believe. Then we get mad, and then we start saying, oh, you're sexist, you're racist, and blah, 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 blah. But am I any of those things, or I'm just really speaking what is my opinion, which I'm entitled to do because I can?
I mean, let's look at the facts, though. She's 51. She's not in her prime. In fact, she's in her midlife crisis range. And so, you know, and if you look at her, she don't look like she's in her prime.
Hold on. So when I get 51, I'm going to be about mid-crisis range? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, men go into their mid-crisis range around 49, 50, dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's when you're half a century and blah, 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 blah. You know, she's a half a century plus one. She looks like she's a half a century plus 30. So, I mean, you know. You know. Come on, Nikki.
How are we going to
What, are they going to cancel? You know, this is going to be canceled.
Yeah, they're going to cancel. We were talking about a Republican white woman. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm not done yet because I'm going to a Republican white man next. So,
go ahead. So she wasn't in her. So you feel like she's not in her prime?
She's not in her prime. No, she's not in her prime. She's 20. She's 22 steps away from the grave. Absolutely not in her prime.
If Don Lemon's speaking the truth, if he's saying what his opinion is, again, if we are entitled to speak our opinion, then why is speaking our opinion constantly getting us in trouble, fired, name called, saying where it's just because someone doesn't have the opinion that you do, then you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like
right.
That's where the country is ass backwards. You and I don't have to agree on everything. You may feel a certain way about a topic. I may feel a certain way, but if that's healthy, we can't all think the same, have the same hive mind. And if someone is not in their prime, if he doesn't believe the candidate is viable, if he doesn't believe that Nikki Haley is a good candidate for this country, that is his opinion. And I think this is where America kind of gets on their soapbox. We say, oh, you can say whatever you want. You have freedom of speech. You can say this and you can say that and you can go to court and not be held liable for something and not slander somebody's name. But, yeah, when I say maybe she's not ready for this or maybe he's not ready for this because these are the facts. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, you're a racist and you're a misogynistic black man. Blah, 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 blah. You know,
I'm going to be all that and more because at the end of the day, I just feel like if we hold America accountable to freedom of speech as much as we hold America accountable to right to bear arms, a lot of this stuff going on right now wouldn't even stress out people. Like, let's just be real. Like, we hold the gun policies and the gun laws way more serious than we do the freedom of speech, which protects journalists and podcasters and authors and reporters and anybody else who works in this industry that we call entertainment. And it bothers me, you know, it bothers me that we have people being charged based off of rap lyrics. It bothers me that we have people that are able to come out 70 years past their prime to say, oh, I was raped when I was 5. And because it happened to be by a black man who was buying a white network, it becomes a big issue. It bothers me that we are more supportive of a crook running for office from behind bars than we are for someone who literally has kept it 100 his entire media career.
Right.
It bothers me. And so I feel like in my eyes, I've seen it coming on the basis that in my eyes, CNN, like Fox News, is ran by a bunch of white supremacists anyway. So I seen it coming. Like when he came on CNN, I said he's not going to last long. As soon as he stops being the puppet they need, they're going to trash him.
Right.
And lo and behold, what happened? He stopped being the puppet they needed, and they trashed him.
Right. But I feel like that's what we do. I feel like once we reach opinions about something, you know, as if they, you are the, you do become.
Mm-hmm.
Once your opinion switches about anything, but we do that constantly in this country. Make people feel bad about their choices and who, like, even who they vote for. When it's election season, we could be family, but because I voted for this person and you voted for that person, then we make the person feel like crap.
Right. Are pouring
right.
in for fear and
I do apologize.
When it's their right to vote for who they want to vote for. So I think that we as humans being are hypocritical. We're hypocrites, and we're hypocritical because we'll tell people to vote for this person, or we'll make them feel, we'll get on a bandwagon to vote for a person, we'll get on a bandwagon to support someone, but when it's all said and done, we don't really support like we should.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I question a lot of things
that deal with the way we run things in America.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Dennis Barnes. He's a high school senior at the International High School of New Orleans. Dennis Barnes has shattered. He has shattered expectations and world records. He has received more than $9 million in scholarship offers from over 125 colleges and universities. He applied to about 200 colleges and universities and was accepted by 125 of them. And right now, he has his sights set on $10 million in scholarship offers by the end of the month.
My Lord.
Yeah. He is the world record in New Orleans, in Louisiana, was held by Normandy Colmier of Lafayette, Louisiana, back in 2019 with $8.7 million in scholarship offers, and he has exceeded that by $0.3 million. He has a cumulative grade point average of 4.98. He wants Woo! To pursue a dual undergraduate degree in computer science and criminal justice, and he will be announcing his college decision on May the 2nd. Young black man killing the game in New Orleans. In New Orleans, baby. I'm just excited to see something like this come across the screen and come across the news media. So I say, go brother, go. You know, keep up the good work and what you are doing down in New Orleans.
Get all of it.
Absolutely.
Every last bit of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Legend, activist, actor, musician Harry Belafonte has passed away at the age of 96 years old in New York City. What a huge, huge blow to the entertainment industry.
Harry, but, I'm going to say this the wrong way, folks. I thought that Harry had already passed on. And then I realized, no, that was Sidney Poitier. I thought Harry had already passed on, but then like 2 years ago.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but our hearts go out to his family. Our hearts go out to his family. in this time of sadness and sorrow. But he lived a great life. He was 96 years old.
Yeah.
I think it was you. We were chatting about people passing. It could have been me. It could have been you and I. But I think I was talking to someone, and we said, like, it's not really sad when someone in their 90s, close to 100, pass on. It's sad because we're going to miss them, but we got to realize that they lived a full life as well. So it's not so much as sadness of, oh, my God, they were, or being so much shocked. But I think we need to, you know, look at that person, someone's in their 90s, even in their 100s. Like, wow, they lived a full life. Like, they've been here a century, or they've been here almost a century. They've seen a lot in this world. And so we do celebrate the legend Harry Belafonte.
Absolutely.
As the old 70s old, Harry Belafonte.
Everybody's grandmama's favorite husband.
Right. Now it'd be great grandma. Great grandma. For us, it was our grandma. For everybody else, it would be the great grandma.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I am. It definitely is a hit to the industry. But like you said, 90. You know, people passing their 90s. That's a joy. You know, we're in the same process right now. My great aunt was 96, who just passed recently, and you know, it's just a joy. When they are allowed to be here, when you know they're able to see their 80s, but when they're in their 90s, and then you know we're that close to 100, by all means, it's like, okay, Lord, you know, good deal. Speaking of huge hits to the industry, and death, Dance with the Stars judge Lynn Goodman, who predicted his own death last year, died one day short of his forecast. He died Saturday at 78, and he said he wouldn't be surprised. Last year, he said he wouldn't be surprised if he died similar to how his father did, unexpectedly at 79. Goodman would have turned 79 on today.
Wow.
Yeah, Lynn Goodman is one of the reasons I watch Dancing with the Stars. He's very critical. He's very, very great at his critiquing. He's very...
Wasn't he very animated as well?
No. So Lynn was animated, but not as animated as the judge whose name, Bruno. He's not as animated as Bruno, but he definitely is animated. And I really enjoyed Lynn. He's been with the show for the first 20 seasons of the show, and then he came back in season 22, and he served to season 28 alongside Carrie Ann Inova and Inaba and Bruno Tonioli, who have served for all 31 seasons of the show. I can't say I've watched the show recently, but I haven't watched the show since Tyra took over, because I just don't understand how you put a model on a show that they know nothing about. She can dance, so why would you put her on a dance show?
She left, and we blessed him. Alfonso Ribeiro will be staying, but I can see Alfonso doing it because he was a child actor. I'm saying he is. He was a child actor, and we know that he did actually dance. He idolized Michael Jackson when he was younger, but he's a dancer. He hosts America's Funniest Home Videos. So I think he would be ideal for the coaching spot of Dancing with the Stars. That has moved to Disney Plus. It's no longer on ABC. It now airs on Disney Plus, correct?
It does, which to me was the best move they made since the show got boring.
Okay.
No shade. Speaking of dancing and music and entertainment, the first glimpse of the movie musical version of The Color Purple has been released. Oprah said, "This is not your mama." Color Purple, directed by Blitz Bazaar.
I want to see what it looked like.
It's definitely what I'm going to send it to you. It is going to be very dynamic. They are promising that this new version is going to be everything you want it to be and need it to be. The ensemble cast of Fantasia, Taraji, Coleman Domingo, Danielle Brooks, Corey Hawkins, Sierra, Halle Bailey, and her is going to be based off of the 2005 Broadway musical. Henson, Taraji, who plays Suge, recalled that she punked out when she was first asked to do this, but the movie is the perfect way to do it. One and done. Barino makes her role as Celie, which is the same role she played on Broadway. She literally has this show to life. She said, "You're going to laugh, you're going to cry. Everybody brings it, but in the end, you'll be healed." Because guess what? I was healed. So on December 25th, Christmas Day, The Color Purple musical movie will be released in the theaters. And it is bound to be one of the hottest productions of the year. I'm noticing that the movie musicals are becoming very, very popular. Why do you feel like this is such a big thing now?
Like, as much as it's almost like, you know, how Disney is turning all their animated movies into live action movies. It's kind of giving more, a little bit, taking it in a different direction, because we all love The Color Purple, the 1989, I think, version with Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover. We all love that movie. We all have seen it. 85, sorry. I know I was 4 years ahead. So we all love it. We all love these musicals, and to see our favorite musical turn into an actual live action or a musical, I feel like it's just something that is, you know, it's becoming more trendy to kind of give it life, give it a new life, and introduce it to a new group of people. Again, because, you know, especially me, grew up with this movie, with these movies, The Color Purple. And so to see the musical version with Fantasia, Taraji, and even some of the original cast from the Broadway musical, I think is just awesome, because that's what they're doing with Wicked. Wicked, which is also another Broadway musical, is being made into a musical version with Cynthia
Erivo.
How you pronounce her last name? Erivo and Ariana Grande, and they're playing. Ariana Grande is playing Glinda, and Cynthia is playing Elphaba, who becomes the Wicked Witch of the West from the Wizard of Oz. So to see these wonderful Broadway musicals, these wonderful shows being now made into movies, is lovely, and people are going to get behind it. I think that Wicked comes out in 2024, and it's actually in two parts. So the first part comes out in 2024, and then another one may have come out maybe two years later. So I'm not quite for sure, but I can't wait, personally.
Oh, yeah, I'm also. I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. Speaking of musicals, Wonka will be also made into a musical take. and it will be starring Timothée Chalamet, who will be playing Willy Wonka, and Hugh Grant, who will be playing a Oompa Loompa. This is scheduled to start to hit theaters on December the 15th. It is directed by filmmaker Paul King, who also directed Paddington. I think this is going to be off the chain also. Y'all know I'm a Wonka fanatic. So I do feel like this is another movie musical that, you know, I just think it's going to take the theaters over. I feel like everybody during Christmas break are going to be hitting double features at the theater. They're going to see Wonka. They're definitely going to see Color Purple. I'm very interested in seeing how this turns out.
Oh, yeah, me too. With musicals, movies. Now when I do my musical theater unit in my drama class, I have tons of movies to pick from.
Absolutely.
I have tons of movies now. I'm so happy. I can't wait. When does The Little Mermaid come out?
Well, let's find out. Little Mermaid musical movie. Little Mermaid will be released on. No, don't be upset, but I'm not gonna watch that. September.
September this year.
I'm sorry. No, that's when it was teased in September. So it will be released on, they teased it in September and it still hasn't dropped yet. Where is the release date? Oh, here we are. May
26th
of this year. Yes.
That's great. So when it comes to video next year, I can show it as a I can use it as my unit for musical theater, because you know I want to introduce the kids to different types of musicals. It's more than being in front of a play. In a play, there's more types of drama, plays, musicals. So I'm excited that there's more options out here. I don't have to just wait and show one thing. I can show a bunch of things. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of clapbacks or things that deal with dancing and music, Chance the Rapper has taken a lot of online debate because he was seen dancing at Carnival. And it wasn't on his wife. I don't quite understand why this is an issue, especially being that when we go out, we dance. It's what, you know, it's what people do. I guess they just didn't expect it from Chance the Rapper because of what? He's clean cut and he's cool and he's low key. I'm in Jamaica. Somebody walks up on me and do a walk up on me. I'm going to do a walk up back on them because it's what we do. I don't understand why it's the debate. You know, I've seen the video. I'm not sure if you guys have seen the video, but I have seen the video, and our brother from Philadelphia has joined. But, you know, what is your take on why do y'all feel like, why do people get so upset over celebrities just simply enjoying their life?
We want people to be faithful and honest, and we think that we may think that, oh, he should be dancing with his wife and not on this. But like you said, like, that's our culture. We go out, we dance. Somebody dance up on me, I'm a dancer. Except for when they drunk, like, you know, like that time at the restaurant. That... We won't talk about that. We won't talk about that issue.
I was just trying to make you smile.
Right, right. And I think that we want people to enjoy themselves, but we want celebrities to enjoy themselves with their partner. And if he's out enjoying himself with if his wife is aware, she's around, she knows what's going on, then why should it matter? Like, We're too invested in these celebrity lives. I think we should do a show about that. Like, we're so invested in these celebrity lives. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So-and-so did, like, no, just sit down, boy. They're human. Celebrities are human, too. They really are. I promise you.
Absolutely.
It's just like, if he eats, you're not going to go to the bathroom. What does it matter that he was dancing with somebody? And the video was less than 30 seconds, and he literally walked away. Like, I mean, people
yeah.
just don't have their own lives.
I mean, I personally feel like he was being in touch with just his culture. I mean, you know, like you said, it was literally 30 seconds of dancing, and, I mean, he partied. And then he just said, okay, have a good day. And, you know, he continued the parade. It's here's my thing. Who goes to carnival and does not dance? Like, who goes to carnival and just does not have a good time? That's like your mama going to Freaknik and you don't see her popping on the hood of the car when this
wow.
documentary comes out.
Oh, wow. That,
well, my cousin said she went to Freaknik and she but that's none of my business.
I'm just saying, like, you know, that's literally, that's what it's like. It's literally like, you know, you going to see me in a documentary, but I'm just going to be standing against the wall. Oh, you're lying. It's Freaknik. No one goes to Freaknik and stands still. And it's the same thing with.
Me.
Say that again.
I'll be at Freaknik, but you just won't be seen because I'm paying attention.
Even if you see me, listen, you can see me all day long. I bet I'll be partying. And I'm going to be going, and I'm going to be the same one like E. Dewey Smith. I'm going to be like, yep, that was me. T word was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand, like, why we so hype over it. We get hype over it. We look for things to make big that ain't big.
So, that part.
You know, it just, that's the part that just really, really bothers me at this point with social media. I really think we have missed the assignment of social media. I just find it hilarious at this point of how they do things. That's all the hot topics I got. You got anything else you want to cover on hot topics?
Oh, remember we wanted to do Dummy of the Week or something like that?
Oh, Fun Dummy of the Week, yes. I forgot his name.
Oh.
Let me see. If I can find it here, bye. After, yeah, let's see if I can find it here. Lord, it was just
the boxer.
Chase D'Amore, yes.
Boxer.
So Chase D'Amore, who is not a boxer per se, but he is a Netflix star. And he was a part of he's a star on Netflix's Too Hot to Handle, and he was in a celebrity boxing match with YouTuber Stevie Knight, and he won. He knocked Stevie Knight out in the first round, but he was disqualified because he kept hitting the man after he knocked him out. So
he knocked him out.
He dropped him, and then he threw 8 more punches. So his record in the celebrity boxing era is now 0-2 because, you know, you can't knock somebody out and then turn into UFC on them. That makes him this week's our Fun Dummy of the Week. A new segment that we just want to say it's dumb. It was a dumb move. But, you know, it's a fun dummy move. Like, fun dummies do dumb things. And I feel like you've seen the man drop, And then you turn UFC, you literally kneeled at the cat's face and just kept throwing punches. You got to be kidding me.
Crazy.
So his whole entire crew runs into the ring after he knocks him. So it's like, what the world?
So the crew who ran in the room was the YouTubers team, was the team who ran into the ring. Now this has gotten him, because you kept punching. So they came in because they had an issue with that. So I mean, this is giving them 12 months of suspension. So he's been banned from it's a company called Misfits Boxing, and he's been banned for 12 months behind this, and they're fining him a percentage of his purse. But who don't know if I'm fighting someone and I knock him out, this fight's done.
It's over. You won.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I recommend him to go to UFC and try his luck at UFC.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
So Stevie Knight, I say congratulations on being the first knocked out person to ever win a boxing match. And Chase D'Amore, UFC might be a good look for you. I mean, I'm not too familiar with Misfits Boxing. Apparently it's people who really don't need to be boxing, but y'all boxing. And, it's already throwing me off by the name, but you hit the ground. Your opponent hit the ground, and you stepped in front of the ref and hit the opponent eight more times. I mean, I understand what he's saying, too. Now, D'Amore is saying, if you watch the clip, which I did watch the clip, the referee is still counting while his opponent, Stevie, was on the ropes. So he's not all the way down. The referee is actually behind them, and he's counting. Technically, he's already been knocked down, and the ref is counting, but he's getting back up. Now, what I thought you're supposed to do, once the ref starts counting, I thought you're supposed to walk away. And so that's where I'm at with it.
Right.
And then the referee was like, hey, this is a disqualification, not because you punched him twice, but because you literally punched him, like eight times while he was on the ground. And what made you stop is you said you seen his eyes roll in the back of his head and his eyebrows lifted, and that's what made you stop punching the man. Dog, really? And then you celebrated. that was the part that made you the fun dummy. Then you celebrated after you realized that you knocked this man out, and then you wanted to hug him. Come on, bring it in. Give me a hug. Like, come on, Flair. Come on. You ain't never, ever, never getting back in a regular boxing ring. You might as well go sign yourself up for WWE or UFC and be like every other athlete who does dual sports. Maybe you should take hockey. Hockey, you could keep fighting forever.
No, not hockey.
Hockey,
you can be missing teeth.
Yes, you in hockey, you can knock somebody's teeth clear out their mouth, and they just gonna say, "Take off your mitt and let's go until we put you in the penalty box." Like, maybe you need to do hockey.
That's what they gonna do? They gonna put you right in that penalty box?
Absolutely. So that's what will make him the fun dummy of the week for me. I'm behooved. I'm bagging up. Like, I laugh so hard. Like, when you see his man drop, and it's like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Like, he's down. Why are you still swinging? And you get up, and you go, checkmate. Like, wait, what? Like, come on, you, dog, sit yourself down. That was hilarious to me.
Wow.
Yeah, very, 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 very dumb thing to do. That's all I have. That's all I have. Maurice, you got anything? Javon, you got anything?
No, sir.
No, 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 no.
Awesomeness, awesomeness. Have you guys checked out the show, Grown in Gospel?
It's interesting from what I've seen.
I'm not interested at all.
I've seen clips. I've not sat down and watched the actual show.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Fred Hammond actually played a clip on, I think it was Instagram, about it was his daughter. She was speaking about, I guess, feeling kind of left out or alone. And I don't know. I don't know. I just, it's like any reality TV show. Again, I used to watch Mary Mary. What was their show called?
Mary Mary.
And I used to watch Braxton Family Values. For some reason, I enjoyed those reality TV shows. But it didn't really change my view of. It didn't really change my view of them because like you said earlier, they're celebrities and human beings at the end of the day. So they're always going to have issues as far as family. I don't know. And then Growing Up Gospel, I don't know when it comes on, so I really don't watch it. I don't have a inclination to watch it. I can't.
That's how you feel? You just going to shoot it down like that? That's how you feel?
I'm not shooting it down. I mean, I think that it's going to give some people a different status. Like, I know Dorinda Clark Cole's daughter is there. Fred Hammond's daughter is on there. Tasha Page Lockhart. Who else is and then the young man. Was an R&B singer. He was on Diddy.
His daddy was a bishop.
Yeah. Oh, his daddy's a bishop. Oh, okay. So he's PK trying to do.
Yeah, he's a PK but he's from like his mother. I'm sorry, is a preacher. I can't think of his name, but he's very. He was on. Was it The Voice or Diddy Show? One of them two.
The Four.
Yeah, that's Diddy Show. He was on The Four, and he had a clapback on The Four. And he's very arrogant and very uppity.
Very, 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 very.
Yes. Yeah, he's very arrogant and uppity. I won't be watching it. I don't really understand why Fred Hammond felt the need to respond to his daughter. You know, she's entitled to how she feels. If you ain't been there, you ain't been there. Like, just call it a day what it is.
He wasn't rude about his response. The thing I liked about his response was he wasn't rude. And he did say that he said that it is his daughter's opinion. He said, but at the end of the day, he's still going to be her father. And I liked his response because it wasn't like, well, y'all shouldn't be judging me. And then like he said, like, y'all going to talk about me. You talk about me, we talk about her. At the end of the day, that is her story. That is her portrayal of it. And at the end of that, I'm still going to be her father. I'm still going to wipe her tears at the end of the day. So I liked his response to it because it wasn't arrogant. It wasn't like,
are you really
going to
wipe her tears, Fred? Like, you ain't been there to wipe them yet.
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
That's all I'm saying. You ain't been there to wipe them yet, Fred. Like, is you really going to wipe her tears? Tasha Paige Lockhart is really showing me a side of her that I did not expect to see from this show.
Hold on. Before you go there, okay, this Lockhart, where does this name come from? Is that her first husband?
No, that's her maiden name.
Yes.
So, because her mom is Lisa Paige.
Right, but she has a dual name.
Paige is her middle name. Is Lisa Paige Brooks? Tasha
Lisa Paige Brooks. Okay, so Paige is her middle. So Paige is her
middle.
Paige is her middle name.
Right.
She goes by her middle. Okay, because I was confused because the way it's spelled, normally Paige is spelled P-A-I-G-E when you spell it, but it's spelled like the pages of a book. And so that's first of all. And then number two, like, I thought it was because of her mom. Like, I thought her name, like, you know, like some people put both parents' last name as their child's name. So that's what I thought.
All I know is she
horny.
She is horny and she's very foolish. She's very foolish. Like, you know, if a brother don't want you, and by the way, he's a little sugary. But if a brother don't want you,
this is our ex-husband.
Yeah, your sex ain't gonna keep you. He's not gonna keep a baby.
Ex-husband is the one that she was married to, correct?
Correct.
They divorced because he didn't want her. Is it from that clip that I saw?
Sorry. I mean, from what I saw in the clip, he don't want her.
But after that, they still having sex, so it's confusing.
But are they having sex? Because he said on the show, come on up, and we will cuddle. And she had a whole breakdown. I'm not saying your sex is trash. I'm just saying he don't want you, boo boo.
See, y'all brought up something. Okay, I didn't see the clip, but we're bringing up something very cute, very. So look at it from this point of view. How many times have people not wanted us in a relationship, but wanted, I'm not saying us, but I'm just saying to those who are listening, wanted sex, but they didn't want relationship. And I think that's what we equate, when we start equating sex and relationship together, this is what gets us in trouble. And this is what I think we talked about this on one of our shows about just having a whole sexual partner, sex buddy type situation, we got to set the boundary. Because if it's just sex, then it's just sex. But being that they were married, it is confusing because if he doesn't want her, then why is he having sex with her? Is it because is he trying to fulfill a need? Is he trying to let people know that he might not be, you know, in the rainbow family? I mean, in the alphabet family, I say rainbow and alphabet. Is it that's what he's trying to do? Because that may be the issue. I don't know. We don't know. But it's kind of interesting.
And he said, come on up and we'll cuddle. He did not have sex. And she cried. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So.
But later in the confessional, she
you must
said
have watched
she
the whole
had sex.
Episode.
So
oh,
we don't really
say
know
that
what
in the confessional?
Huh?
She said they did have sex in the confessional?
Yes.
Oh,
that's the clip.
But I mean, So if you're going to act like it's not, I can't treat you like one even though we saved?
No. No, I know, I'm just laughing. Don't pay me anything. I just laugh.
I mean, that was an honest question, though. Like, if you come off thottish, and even though I don't want you, it shuts you up. I'm going to probably do it just shut you up, because her whole nag was, you know, that y'all married and she need a rose and you won't get her one, so she needs you to fulfill the rose's position. And, you know,
still married or divorced?
At the time of the filming, they were still married, but they were going through, you know, trying to figure out if they were going to make this thing work or not.
That was confusing to me.
Oh, yeah. They were still, during the show filming part, they were still married for the most part. They lived in separate houses and, you know, they came through and they, you know, you're supposed to be talking about, you know, everything. And she went and bought some negligee to talk for. So maybe... y'all gonna still take this the wrong way, but maybe if she learned to use her mouth instead of her body, she wouldn't have these problems. Because she thought, well, if I go get sexy, him won't want to stay. It didn't work. So now you feel like a fool because you being hot box. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So, as of right now, they're not married anymore.
I don't think they are.
So I see where the confusion is for everyone, and me too. It's like, like y'all don't want to, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, she must have really loved him. Because. She sure was boo-hooing.
That was her second marriage. With this guy, because he's a pastor. The second husband is a pastor, because he was married before. And she divorced him, and then she married this guy. He was a pastor. But they were not, I don't think they were together very long. I don't think they were together. They were married. I'm going to say married. I don't think they were married very long.
Okay. They've been married
for like maybe 3 years.
Praise the Lord. I ain't knocking it at all. All I'm saying is, you know, he ain't win it.
He wanted Newport.
Hard pass for me, dog.
Oh, that's a hard pass, buddy.
Oh, man. So moving on to tonight's topic, a dream deferred or canceled. So, you know, one of the greatest things I think a person – especially an educator or someone who enjoys education, one of the greatest things that they achieve or they can achieve is going to school and going to college. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody, I'm going to speak for me. And by the way, those of us that are listening, these are all our points of view, just for a disclaimer. These are all our points of view. If you don't like it, you can stop listening. But these are our points of view. If you want to call in, we invite you to 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083 is our call-in number. But back to the topic at hand. Going to school, one of the greatest things that a person can do, and going to college, especially, or to a university after high school. You graduate from high school, you go on, and you live your life through school. And what I want to know is, do you feel that because of the cost of college, that it causes people to defer their dreams or cancel them altogether. Like, is college really worth the headache that after I graduate from college, I'm going to be working a job that's probably not going to pay me what I thought I was going to get paid from this degree? So it stops me, from still achieving goals, because I got to now pay back this student loan that costs, you know, a quarter of a house. And I got to go and I have to go back, and I got to start back from the bottom of the employment chain anyway. And I'm now, I done spent all this money and I don't know how I'm going to make it still. And then what about the ones who go to school, but get out of school and do something completely different because the career field they went to school for now ain't popping? So what do we feel like is the necessity of college, or is the cost of college stopping our people from today, especially our young people, from really wanting to go out and pursue their dreams? Like, how do y'all feel about that?
Working at a high school, many of my students are doing various things. Some of them are going to college. Some of them are starting on the track of 2 years. They're going to a community college first, and then they're transferring to a four-year school to finish out the rest of their years. Some of them are going right to college for the first 4 years. Some of them are on scholarships, and then there are some that are going to do a trade, or some of them are going right into the workforce. So I think that on the type of parent you have. I think it also depends on what you desire to do. There are some kids that are even thinking about taking a gap year because they feel like they're just not ready for college. And it has to do with financially. And that's why there are a couple of students that I've talked to, they're not going right to college. They're going to do the two-year track at a community college because it's financial. Some of them are going right to college, but they have looked for scholarships. One of my students, actually the young man who wrote our theme song, he has a full scholarship through band because he's in the band. He plays, so he'll be going to school on a band scholarship. So it all depends on each child and each family. I think it has to do with, I think that has been a, that is one of the issues. Not issues, but that is one of the things that is very helpful. Unlike us, you know, I didn't have scholarships. I had to complete my doctorate degree. I have to literally take out loans to finish my doctoral degree.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Definitely understand that. Do you feel like college should be? I'm sorry, Javon, what's your take?
I think that it's determined by what your dream is. College is not for everybody. It's not, and when I say that, I don't mean education is not for everybody. I mean, the institution may not work for what your dream is. Money is an issue. I think a lot of people should take gap years, because I know for me, the transition from high school to college was not what I thought it was going to be, because I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I went from teachers hounding me and counselors hounding me about schedules and homework, that I can make my schedule whenever I want to. And this for me, I can put all my classes on one day, or put one class on Monday and one class on Saturday, and nobody's going to complain. I wasn't ready for the freedom that college gave me. Okay. So I think that every person needs to evaluate it based upon their readiness, their finances, and what it is that they actually want to do. Because I know a lot of people that have gotten degrees in certain areas, but realize later that that's not what they wanted to do. So they spent $50,000 to get a piece of paper that they're never going to use. So mm-hmm. I think that we should do better evaluations at what people want to do and what that process looks like.
Gotcha. Do you feel like if you're from a state and you live in state and you choose to do a state college, your college should be free?
Yeah. I think community college should be free. And I think that, well, if it's not going to be free, it needs to be severely reduced. Because we know that the college, to be honest, we know that the colleges have to survive off the tuition. In order to stay afloat, we know that it has to have tuition. But I believe community college should be free because, again, it's a state-run institution, but I think it should be, and I really, to be honest with you, I really believe that community college should be like an advancement of, and I'm not trying to say that it needs to be dumbed down because it's high school, but like a second high school career, like a second chance at like high school. Because some of, you know, some students, like Javon said, need a gap year. Well, maybe community college might be the best for them because it's not as, when you go to a four-year school, when you go to a university or institution, it's more challenging because, like you said, you don't have teachers hounding you. And I had to tell my students, like, you're not going to have me standing over top of you telling you this paper's due and you got to turn this in. No, that's not how this works.
Right.
Your teacher's going to give you your deadline or when that paper needs to be turned in. If you don't turn that paper in, it ain't going to be, well, you know, I was sick and I couldn't breathe and this all happened to me. They're going to say, oh, no, we're not, you don't, no, you're going to fail. And so mm-hmm. I think community college should be like that second year of that second two extra years of like a high school course or a high school setting because it but an advance where it's less stress. You're not making the kids do their work, but they're getting a sense of what it means to be independent. Because we don't teach that in high. We don't teach independency. In high school, we teach what we're supposed to teach, but we don't give them the skill set to really teach them independency that you got to go to your 8:30 class on time or your teacher is going to fail you or you have to be in school every day. If you don't go to the class, you're going to fail, and that's money out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So I think that if we're going to, like, school needs to teach, like you said about the dreams, it's whatever that child's dreams are. We need to teach these kids to follow their dreams. And some of the dreams don't mean that they're going to go to a four-year school. Some of them may mean they're going to go to 2 year and go do early childhood education and run a daycare. Some of that means I'm going to get out of school and help my father run his business. So
right.
You know. So what does that look like? But I think those students that are going through a 4 year, we do really need to teach them to really access their dreams.
And even when you said that community college should be free, a lot of cities are starting to do that. I know in Detroit, as long as you graduate, you can go to certain community colleges for free. But there's a need for an overhaul in education as a whole,
mm-hmm.
because we just one, everybody's not going to fit the same mold. There's no way to cookie cut people's experience or their education. So we have to be more aware and more personable to helping people access what their dream is. Because a lot of people are just doing stuff to do stuff. They're doing it because it's the thing to do. I'm not going to college because I want to. I'm going to college because that's what I've been told is the only way to be successful. But then I find out that may not be true. It's a work in progress, but it's also a collective effort. I think that, you know, it's not just, oh, you're going to be a doctor. Okay, well, what if I don't want to be a doctor? Or what if I don't want to be the type of doctor you want me to be? So I'm in school trying to gratify you because you're living through me instead of actually living my own dream, because I've never been able to express what my dream is.
So do we feel like the first step for a parent is to understand that your child is an individual?
Yes.
Definitely. The unfortunate part is I work with students whose parents are from other countries, and so they are very, very hard on their kids because they came to this country with an expectation that they want their child to be different. So like Javon said, the expectation might be for the child to be a doctor. But in order to be a doctor, you have to start somewhere in high school. You can't go to a medical school you can't go to most medical schools in high school into a college with a 2.5 GPA. Your GPA has to be higher. And so I think that, unfortunately, I think it's a false sense of hope when my parents are from Africa or my parents are from a Latin American country, and I get here and I'm told I have to do this, this, and this, and it's not fair to them to aim high because their parents, and especially my students that are African, they want their child to be something more. They want to be engineers, doctors, or something. They don't want them to be just a regular. I have a teacher who worked at the school, who works at my school. She's Nigerian, and she stated to me that she's the only teacher of her siblings. And when she told her parents she wanted to be a teacher, she said they looked at her like, "That's what you want to do?"
Yeah.
Wow. I think one of her siblings is a lawyer. Another sibling, you know, they have very nice positions, but she's the teacher. That's the thing. Like when your parent is, I think we have high expectations for certain groups of people, but then we have very low expectations for certain groups of people.
That too.
Do you think it's okay for a child to tell a parent that you can't expect out of me what you didn't achieve yourself?
Do I think it's right? Yes. Do I think it's gonna happen? Sometimes no.
I think with now I'll say again, I'm coming from two different worlds. I think with our African American parents, you could say that, but you're gonna lose your teeth in the process. I think with my African students, no, they cannot say that to their parents. They wouldn't be no.
So once again, how do we teach our kids to be themselves if that means you can be yourself but not around me?
You just have to I feel like that's a great question because I feel like I come up with that question a lot to my students about them being themselves, even with being You know, because some of those kids are also same gender loving, but they can't really express themselves because their family is from another culture, or their parents just don't agree with it because they're deep Christian, deeply Christian. I think that once the child leaves the home, I think that's the only way that they can really be assessing. And that's the unfortunate part, because we know nowadays, if you know, these parents, I don't know why these parents want to kick their child out, you know, give them, you know, it boggles my mind, but that's what's happening. Like, oh, no, you can't stay here. You got to go.
Yeah.
So I think the unfortunate part, as much as our kids should be expressing themselves and be safe to feel safe to do so, I think that we have to just support them where they are, and just let them be themselves where they can.
Gotcha.
I hope that answered the question.
So with education, do we feel that, like, do you feel that as a, because you're an educator, I think all of us on here are educators in some way, shape, or form. Do we feel that education should have the same, the same aspects as businesses, that if your product is too high, you have to bring it down to maybe meet, like, your
college is concerned?
Right. Like, do you feel like, okay, if you're a college and let's say you just happen to be in, like, the hood of a city and, you know, you're there where there is a lot of low-income housing and things like that, and you're the only way a child may have a chance to actually get out of their situation, do you feel like there should be a cap on how much a college could charge for their students?
Yes, I do.
Because I feel like if it wasn't so expensive, a lot of people could actually finish college. I mean, there are people who are literally tapping out of financial aid, you know, and still have not finished school.
Right.
And I agree with you, because I, as a future, you know, doctoral student, I personally feel as I'm paying an exorbitant amount of money to continue get a degree that I would need to help better my educational purposes and me as an individual, and I feel like I'm paying so much money out of my pocket that I'm it's kind of hard to be like, oh, do I really want to get, because all this money, you know, I thank God for tuition reimbursement as well through the county, but even with that, like, it's few and far between. Like, we don't get it all the time. You have to apply for it, and you might have to, you get it or you don't get it.
But even with that, like, do you feel like, because colleges, if I'm not mistaken, they get grants and funding, federal funding also. So
yeah, they do.
So if I'm getting federal funding, why should I be able to charge you? Like I said, a person who's in school, their first mortgage is their college tuition. Like, let's just be real. And you're not charging me rent. You're literally charging me a course. Colleges, like most colleges, start at 20 per year. So by the time I got to year four, I've already given you 80 grand.
Right.
So,
there are other countries who will pay, who you can go to school for free.
Right.
This country want to charge you for everything.
Absolutely.
Charge you to own a house. Charge you to pay gas. Charge you to, you know what I'm saying? Like we literally pay for everything in this
Absolutely.
Country. Education. But there are certain countries that you can go to college for free. And we don't do that. We don't. And then have the audacity to not recognize your degree.
That part.
From another country.
That part. Or even don't even recognize your degree from your own country. If it doesn't fit the the classes. If, you know, like let's say I decided to change my major and I was majoring in, I was majoring in church administration and I'm going to business administration. You know, they have options that, you know, well, we can't accept this because this is a Christian-based degree.
In my county, you cannot, if your degree is from a Christian school or if your degree is a master's of theology, you can't, they don't accept it.
So is that not a form of religious discrimination?
It's not a form of religious discrimination. They don't have to accept your degree because it doesn't fit to where they want you to be educationally. It has to be an education degree.
Wow. That's where my only dilemma with a lot of schools are. Bad enough I have to pay for your degree. But, I mean, you know, bad enough I got to pay to go to your school, and I may not even be getting the best education while I'm at your school. But then on top of that, you're going to tell me I don't matter because my degree doesn't fit your idea of
mm-hmm.
education?
Yeah.
You know, like to me, I feel like that's like a smack. That's like telling me I wasted 4 years and my money. And I'm not good enough to work for. I'm not good enough to work for your company or go to your school because I went to a Christian college. Like that. That's where my issue like lies with a lot of financial aid or a lot of issues with schools in the U.S. Because I know in other schools or in other countries, you know, a degree is a degree. You got a degree, we're gonna make it work for you.
Yeah.
You know, but there are companies. Yeah.
Certain degrees, you can't have a degree from another country. It's not accepted. It's a bunch of stuff that's just weird. In this country concerning education. I would love for someone to make me the education secretary in an administration. I would love to do that. Okay, I'm just saying,
Joe Biden.
I want to be the educational secretary, okay? I would love to be the state superintendent for the state of Maryland.
So let me ask you this.
Have you
ever had a dream deferred or canceled because of school?
No. I had it deferred. My degree, I changed my major when I was in school, when I first started school, I was an English teaching major. Unfortunately, somehow when I got to my university, which I will not name, we did not have a chair over our department. And I missed out on those educational courses because I didn't have guidance on what I should have been taking. And so I ended up having to change my major, I think my sophomore year, so that I could just graduate with a degree. And I graduated I was an English teaching major. And so, you know, that meant that I would have come out of college teaching.
Right.
And then, Not only when I come out of college teaching, I'm going to take the national teacher's exam. So when I would have taken that exam, I would have been a teacher at the age of 24. I would have been a teacher at the age of 24. So I would have now been teaching almost 24 years. But that's another story. So my dream was actually deferred because I stopped school in 1999. That was the year I was supposed to graduate. No, I was supposed to graduate in 98. Well, I stayed another year, but I ended up leaving in 99, moving to D.C. But I ended up going back, completing my bachelor's degree in 03. And then in 18, I received my master's degree. So, yeah, and then, all because of school. Like, I was so thrown off with the whole, I was an English teaching major, all of a sudden, we don't have a chair. They never got a chair my entire time at UMES. And so I had to go through that college experience without a chair. And then when I went back to finish, they had a chair.
Now, for those who don't understand the significance of this, why is it so difficult to obtain your degree without a chair?
Because without a chair, the chair can't guide you to the process of you need to take, because the chair should say, okay, Mr. Stevenson, you need to take, so in your next semester, you need to take this class, and this class. These are the classes you need for your English teaching degree. And you need all these, because also I needed to be able to have someone sign off if I was to take student teaching. I needed that person to sign off on my student teaching.
That makes sense.
Okay. Explain it for those who may not have understood that concept.
Because we had a chair over the whole department, but in that department, we needed another chair or at least an advisor to advise those students who were in that field so that they could know where they were going, so that when we got to 19, here it is my junior year, this is what I need to be taking in my junior year, and then when I get to my senior year, all I do is take my teaching, because it would have been my student teaching in my senior year. Because my freshman year, I take, of course, those wonderful start classes, and then my sophomore year, I take some more. Then I take education classes, my junior year, and then by the time I get to my senior year, the second semester of my senior year will be all student teaching, and then I take the national teacher's exam, which if I pass that exam when I graduate from college, I am a certified teacher.
Gotcha.
But I had to go all these routes.
I heard that. Javon, what about you? Have you ever had?
Nothing deferred because of schooling. My issue with me, never really, when it came to school, every time I started, I realized I wasn't ready. And I put pressure on myself to make it happen, and it didn't work. But it's not really deferred me because I wanted to teach, and I've taught. I've taught in colleges. I've taught universities because of my experience. That's why every person is not going to make it college. Not because they're not smart. Some people just are not going to make it. But if we had better assessment of dreams and what people needed, we would have less people wasting time and money. That's
absolutely
what I'm talking about.
So do we feel like the college degree should not be considered necessary to be successful in a given career?
I think that's reasonable because every person that's successful has a degree.
Yep.
All right.
Successful. Shaquille O'Neal, when he became successful, he did not have a degree. He got a degree while his success was building.
Right.
And even his degree doesn't go with what he's doing.
Right.
He is an EDD, which means he has a doctorate in education, but he's not, for all intents and purposes, he's not teaching on that level. What degree is on it?
Who was that?
A lot of basketball players were going back to school and getting master's degrees and doctoral degrees, but because they may have stopped playing in their college, went to the NBA, and then they went back to school. So I agree. Like, success is not defined by a degree. I have a friend who is in banking, and this man makes over $100,000 a year. He doesn't have a degree to his name. He has college courses, but he does not have a degree.
Gotcha. All right. I think this has been an interesting topic and an interesting takes on things. You know, I grew up in an era where they were, you know, if you don't have a college degree, you're not nothing. Now, me personally, I always knew I wanted to go to college. I always knew what I wanted to take in college. I walked into college. I was a business major, but I walked into college already owning a business. So, you know, that's another situation for me, but it was just, you know, I had already owned my businesses walking into college. But, you know, come out of school for a business and end up in education, you know, which is one of the most funniest things ever. I just felt like my calling was to the young people that I serve and not so much to the schools that I went to or even, you know, the business degree that I have. If you could change one thing about what they look for when it comes to college versus career, what would you change?
A little bit more specific.
So the president of the United States called you today and said, you know, Mr. Stevenson, listen, you know, we're having a poll about college in America, and we want to know your intake as it relates to the career of tomorrow's generation or tomorrow's future. What should we do to change the shape of America based upon what your recommendation would be? How would you change the shape of America?
I think certain could go without a degree. I think teaching can go without a degree. I think if you train people, you train them correctly how to teach, give them the pedagogy, give them everything they need as far as teaching and teaching subjects. I don't think you need to hire, because there are some great teachers that don't have degrees, but because they don't have a degree, they won't be able to step foot in the classroom. So I think that is one way. I think maybe even giving people who go to a two-year community college, giving them the ability to do jobs and that they could do. But and paying them the salary that they can, because they have a two-year degree. And the first-year degree, like, if I can go to a community college to teach early elementary education, then try to find me then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait. Don't tell me I got to go to a four-year. Oh, you got to get a master's degree. No. So I think that is, that's how I would change the face of education, by saying, let's give people a chance. Do some training. Train people. Train them for 2 years. Let them do this by showing. You know, I think that would be helpful.
All right. Bertrand, same question.
I agree with more training, but I also think that we need to remove standardized testing. Removing fees, because everybody's not a good test taker. Everybody don't have money to go to school. And if we're going to change the landscape, we have to change where the issues are.
Right.
I know some schools are not requiring ACT and SAT, but I think it needs to happen across the board, because those tests are not always fair. And they don't actually give you an honest assessment of what people know or what they can do, because, again, I can memorize something doesn't mean I know how to use it.
Absolutely.
So I will start with testing.
I would start with testing also. I would start with two things. I would eliminate testing and fees personally. And the reason I say that is, number one, I feel that will also eliminate the fact that I'll hire you over this person because they went to this school. So I know that they paid, you know, more money to go to college because this school is considered Ivy League based upon the fact,
right,
of what they charge to go to the school. So that will already take out the stereotypes of education. The other reason I think I would definitely utilize no fees for school is, like you said, you know, everybody can't afford school, but everybody deserves a fair chance. How can we, you know, like, mean leave no child behind should be more like, I'm going to make sure a child gets an education, not I'm going to make sure a child gets pushed through school.
Right.
So I will also change some of the laws that we have made to keep our children dumb. You know, many of our children need to be held back because they're not grasping it. But because they have a learning deficiency, or because they, you know, just might not be that child who gets everything on the first go around. Or they learn differently. And I think that's the one thing I really feel we need to do is teach teachers how to teach from the different standpoint of always just lecturing.
Right.
But we're supposed to, and that's the thing that we don't. But you gotta understand, you have a mixture of who refuse to retire because they won't get a full pension. How they were taught, they don't follow the new standards.
Can we get away from some of these standards? Some of these standards are dumb. For it to take 20 steps to get 2+2, come on, Pippin.
Remember,
I'm line dancing in math. You know, two hops this time. Slide to the left. Like, it's math.
That's new math. But see, that's one of my topics, our school's 21st century equipped. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we have teachers who taught in the 80s and the 90s, and things have changed, and they don't go with the times. They stay with that 80s, 90s mentality, and they don't, because, yes, you should know what type of learning your child is. You should know all of this. And the other thing is we're giving kids too much book work. We're giving them book work instead of actually talking to them, asking them questions. The way that we are evaluating on is student to student discourse. meaning the teacher is the facilitator. I'm here to facilitate your learning, meaning I'm giving you it, but what I need you to do is you discuss it. I'll open it up to you, and then you discuss it. This is how we're evaluated in the county and where I see. So that's what's not happening, is that you got to understand, you got these older teachers who graduated college in the 80s, and they have not grasped that they need to change and move themselves to what's current, to now.
But is everything that's current, is it relevant? Like, once again, like, even with new math, is new math really relevant?
I don't teach math.
Okay.
But yes, in order to bring math scores up, because in the county where I teach, our math scores are really low. Our language, our writing and literacy scores is up. As a matter of fact, my school where I work has the highest number in the county, and we also have the highest number in the state as far as our literacy scores are. Now, as far as our math scores, is very low. And it is relevant because you want to bring those math scores up. But again,
it's about
how stuff is taught.
So do you feel like in order to bring up math skills, I have to teach kids that there are 20 steps to one problem?
I don't think you have
to teach kids 20 steps to one problem. Teach these kids what worked for them. I think one of the things that we don't teach to is what worked for you. Like, what worked, like, to get to this problem, show me the steps that you got to get to this problem, to get to this answer. I think that's the part that we're missing.
Absolutely. In my eyes, I feel like as long as you get the correct answer, you did the thing.
Right.
You know, congratulations. You passed it because you got, when it's all said and done, you answered the question correctly. It may not have been what they consider to be standards, but nonetheless, you answered the question. So I don't feel like I should be able to mark a question wrong because you didn't answer it the way I would have answered it, or the way the author feels of the book feels you should have answered it.
English gives you the opportunity to come up with themes, but it's based on what you perceive.
Is that about
what I perceive? Because what I perceive is the theme of a book or a story. You're not going to come up with that.
Right.
Because you may read it differently. What happens with math, though, it's concrete. It has to be, but there are ways that how did the kid get to the problem? They have the same, they have the answer, but how did they get to the answer? And I think that's where teachers get it crossed up, because you want them to show you their work. Well, show me your work. Okay, but this is my work and I'm showing it to you. So I think that will improve our math skills if we allow the kids to say, hey, I did this and this is how I got to work. I even used a calculator.
Well, okay, I had a student who had a question mark wrong. Now, they're not from here. They're from the island. They're from the island. And so when he calculates left to right, not right to left. And the teacher marked it wrong.
It was
the right answer, right?
It was the correct answer, but the way he got it wasn't the standard she taught it.
The way she taught it, yep. And
but
that's what
her, it was, and you're wrong. I don't think that's fair to the student, because he got the correct answer.
Right, but that's what I'm saying with math. That's the unfortunate part about math, is that it has to go the way the teacher taught it. The teacher is looking for the way I taught it to you I'm looking for you to copy or mirror the way I got it. And that's
but
not
what
how
is,
these
the way you got
work.
It makes me feel like I'm slow.
Again, the way the teacher taught it is how the what the teacher's looking for. It doesn't matter if the kid did it their way. And that's what I'm saying. We got to break that barrier of kid that we can't math can't be taught concrete. It has to be taught kind of abstract. Because the way, like you said, the kid is from the island. So the way he did it left, you said left to right or right to left? He did right to left, right?
He did left to right.
Left to right.
The teacher did it right to left. And she marked it wrong.
Right
he has
left.
The same answer.
Right.
He has
but the teacher broke it down,
answer.
You know, ones columns, tens column, whereas him, he can look at it and he already knows exactly what's going to be carried, what's going to be moved, how many going to carry over, and how to break it down. And it was like, well, this isn't the standard we teach it in.
The teacher was wrong for marking it. Let me tell you, the teacher was actually wrong for marking it wrong because guess what? He still came up with the answer.
Absolutely.
The correct answer at that.
Right.
So the
but it was
wrong.
Like because
and
he
then, and that,
break it from, you know what, this is my ones column, and with my ones column, I do X, Y, Z, and with my, you know, my tens column, I know it's X, Y, Z. Like, you know, it was just like, you, how did you get this answer? Well, I know that if, you know, 6 plus 6 is 12, and I'm going to have to carry the 10, you know, carry the 1, and, you know, and so she was just like, oh, well, you know, while that's good, like, we still need to think of, you know, the way that the standard teaches us, I have to see your ones, your tens. And I mean, and it really, it damaged him because he's used to being a straight A student.
Yep.
But the teacher is, it's the standard. And the standard is saying, okay, he has the answer. So, mm-hmm. But let me explain to him. He has the answer. I'll mark it right. But let me explain to him like this. And maybe he'll, or see, and then you know what's going to happen? He's going to go through, he's in elementary school, right?
Yep.
So for the rest of his life, doing math, he's always going to have a math, not a fear,
yeah.
but a apprehension. Because now that my elementary school teacher said I did the problem wrong, and it's wrong. So now he's going to not, you know, now he's going to have that over his the rest of his life.
Yes.
The rest of his time doing math. And that's the unfortunate part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, we pray that you guys had an enjoyable episode. This episode, we are grateful that you guys tuned in. As always, we love you guys so much. Please remember that Biden-Harris has re-entered the election for 2024. You know, either get an old man or get a prisoner. Figure out which one you want. But that's going to look like how it's going to look for this 2024 election. You know, we're excited that you guys tuned in. We're hoping you tune in next week also. We definitely got a lot more topics to go. We got a lot of great, interesting things going to pop off. We got some guests that may be popping in soon. So, you know, we're excited that you guys are a part of the brothers, and we look forward to seeing you next week. For my brother in Philadelphia, the city of ducking and dodging, and brotherly love and sisterly affection, for my brother in Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland, where the crafts come directly out of the ocean that you pee into, and from myself in the Blue Hen State, where we necessarily absolutely choke chickens. This is the brothers, and we will see you on next episode.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah.